T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Jacob Albrock on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, good to have you with us as we roll into hour two, all things KU on the table for our buddy Brian Haney, boy of the Jayhawks. Courtesy of the Mattress Hub on the back end of a, 45-7 thrashing at the hands of Baylor. Brian, as I remember last week, it's not like you warned us about this, but I think that you lamented the game, what was it, last year or the year before against Baylor, that Kansas went into with similar kinds of hopes and have them dashed in a second half blitz. I got to be honest with you, my friend, and I think I'm pretty honest most of the time. I've seen this program take steps forward over the first few weeks. I think I took a little step backwards in that second half last weekend. Is that fair or no?
Yeah, I think, you know, for anybody that watched the game or listened to it for the first time in 3 weeks, you didn't leave thinking that there was something really obvious to hang your hat on or hold on to.
Yeah.
Progress. The 31-0 second half with, admittedly, you know, a lot of missed tackles and not a lot with the offense helping out the defense by staying on the field and sustaining some drive. I think, honestly, you know, with all the three and outs that piled up early on a really hot day, I think our defense got worn down and the two offense and defense groups were not complementing one another at all. Defense did what they could, but eventually the dam broke. And you felt like at halftime, down 14-7, despite the fact that time of possession and yardage and everything was so heavily slanted toward Baylor, you felt like, wow, we are so fortunate to be in this, and we're getting the ball to start the third quarter. Maybe there's a chance we go down and tie up the game because Kansas has just scored on a late second quarter drive. And then at that point, you're rejuvenated. And you feel like you're playing with house money, and who knows what happened. But, unfortunately, they started the third quarter the way they started the first. Quick three and out, no time comes off the clock. Defense has to go right back out on the field. And it set the tone for a pretty ugly second half. It resulted 31-0 and obviously a blowout. But, it was just a game where I thought Kansas, unfortunately, came out a little bit flat. And, you know, Coach Leipold owned all that in the post-game press conference and comments this week of what they need to do better and how this club, you know, is still evolving and growing as a team. But clearly they were outmatched from the get-go, and I think they took that to heart, and you saw the passion of the coach on the sidelines. And so I would expect we'll see this team get up off the mat this week at Duke and be much more competitive. But that clearly was, a disastrous start to league play when you look at some of the factors that led to the blowout, and not at all what we'd seen the first couple of weeks, where you were okay losing by 27 at Coastal because they competed so well in two different junctures of making a run and being in it. You didn't see that same type of threat out of Kansas this past week. And so hopefully that's something they can learn from and grow from and bounce back from and not have it become more of the norm going forward. Because while they will be underdogs in all these games the rest of the way, I think the type of fight we saw out of Kansas the first couple of weeks makes you think that they'll be much more competitive throughout, and we just didn't see that, at least in terms of competitive fight, in that second half on Saturday.
Brian, when I look at Saturday, something that just jumps off the page to me is 57 yards passing from Jason Bean. That doesn't seem possible in today's college football game. Is that a concern as we move forward in this season? The lack of we'd been talking about the last lack of a rushing attack. Now is the lack of anything through the air. We're not going to be able to compete here if we can't get something more than that through the air.
Yeah, and it was a situation where it's hard to pile up the yards if you're going three and out most times out there, and you're not having a chance to sustain drives. And many times they wouldn't get into passing down situations until it was third and 10, and he's backpedaling and, you know, trying to throw on the run because there was obvious pressure. And so I think this passing game could be a lot better than what we've seen, Jacob, because they do have some really capable pass catchers, and Kwame Lassiter, who's a veteran guy that's emerged as an All Big 12 honorable mention type receiver, and then a really good stable of tight ends led by Mason Fairchild that at least in certain glimpses and flashes have proven to be more than capable. But clearly, when you're struggling to get any kind of offensive consistency going, where you're operating ahead of schedule on first and second downs, that was the struggle for Kansas. You know, many times it was third and long because they didn't take advantage of their opportunities on first and second down and didn't stay in front of schedule. And so for Jason Bean, he was forced to make throws under duress, downfield, needing long instead of second and medium or third and short. And I think that caused Kansas to be operating at a disadvantage throughout the day. He still has yet to really make a huge blatant mistake in throwing the football. We've seen, obviously, the fumble now by Amari Pesta-Kixon for the team's first giveaway of the year. But now you're taking on a Duke team this week that had five takeaways versus Northwestern last week. And they'll want to, ratchet up the heat and the pressure on Jason Bean as well. And so it'll be interesting to see how Kansas handles that. But as you know, Velton Gardner is no longer with the program. He entered the transfer portal on Monday. And so it's all about Devin Neal, and we're going to see Tory Loughlin and a little bit more of Pesta-Kixon in the run game. And that's where it's not as simple as saying, Jacob, well, we got to throw the ball better. We got to get guys open more. In the same way that the defense and the offense need to complement one another, the run and pass game need to as well. So you're setting yourself up in third and manageable type situations. And maybe they start passing more on the early downs as well. I think when they've been effective, we've seen them expand the pocket by rolling him out and utilizing that great foot speed, and yet he needs to be more accurate sometimes on those throws. We saw a few sail high on him. We had the one bad snap go over his head, which cost us a drive, 20 negative yards on a bad snap by the center Nowitzki. And it's little stuff like that that's got to get cleaned up. You got to hit the open throws on the rollouts. Can't be operating in third and longs every single time, because that's how you wind up punting seven or eight times in a game. And clearly Kansas isn't going to win any of their remaining games if they're having to put Reese Vernon, the punter, on the field that often and that early in some of these drives. I mean, the best plays they had to sustain drives were all third and long pickups, where either Bean scrambled for 25 yards with his feet or threw on the run for an acrobatic catch by Luke Grimm. I mean, it was taking plays like that because they weren't operating on schedule or ahead of it. And so hopefully we'll see Andy Kotelnicki, offensive coordinator, and now a run game led by Devin Neal, come up with some stuff that allows Kansas to get into more manageable third down scenarios and hopefully sustain more drives, keep the defense resting on the sideline a little bit and put some pressure on the opposition, because we rarely did that on Saturday. At the end of the first quarter, the yardage differential was 158 to -8. And while we were only down seven at that point, it felt like a lot more. And that's where you got to get more out of the offense. And that starts on first and second down.
Always pleased to have the candor of Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks, on the show with us Wednesdays. Okay, here's my concern. And maybe it's not a concern, and maybe your perspective is different at this point on Jason Bean, who I think all three of us really, really like. I love his competitiveness. I like his skill set. I love his leadership. And I love the fact that he is willing to carry the weight and the load of this offense. However, when you are a central character in 106 of the 185 snaps that this team has taken to this particular point, in other words, you're either throwing it or running it, that's a pretty high percentage. He's going to take some shots at some point. How much do you worry at this juncture just about the durability of Jason Bean? Because isn't that going to be tested if it continues in this manner?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Bruce, and it has been already. We saw the really tough shot he took late in the Coastal game, where he got hit up top near the head, but also his wrist, and he was able to come back in pretty quickly thereafter. But then they finally just decide, you know what, let's let him rest the rest of the way. And we saw Jalen Daniels the rest of that ball game. And Daniels obviously came in earlier in this one with things really getting out of hand. And that's, you know, a little bit of Coach Leipold and Coach Kotelnicki trying to protect their quarterback there. But the hits are going to keep coming. And, you know, they're not whole on the offensive line right now. Coach Leipold announcing yesterday that Colin Grunhard, Tim's son, will be out for at least the next two games. And hopefully after the bye week, October 9th, he'll return. But they'll evaluate at that point where he's at. And so, yeah, I think the offensive line needs to do a better job than what they have in buying him more time and protecting him a little bit more. We talked about all the rollouts to get him more time naturally, but, man, those pass rushers are still coming. And so he's going to face more pressure than he's used to facing playing at North Texas and get hit by bigger dudes more than likely here in the weeks ahead. And so hopefully the durability factor does hold up, but let's hope he's not under as much duress because they start to gel and click a little bit more up front. But like I said, they'll be a little bit shorthanded in doing so without Grunhard for the next couple of weeks. So that's where, you know, like we said, if they can get more consistency with the ground attack, take some of that pressure off Jason Bean, where, you know, it's not always having to be him with either the feet or the arm, and you've got something established on the early downs with Devin Neal and the rest of the backs, then hopefully all those, you know, QB hurries and backpedaling throws and big hits after he chucks it downfield, you know, start to diminish a little bit because they do take a toll. And it's easier to pop up in the second week in September than it is in the third week in October when you've, you know, had an accumulation of hits like that over the course of the season. And obviously it just takes one really bad one and suddenly you're on the shelf. But so the good news is, as you said, he seems really tough. He's got a lot of moxie. Not the type of guy that gets up with bad body language and starts yelling at his O-line or blaming anybody else. I think he's the right type of leader in that regard and clearly a very tough kid that comes from a sports background. His dad was a minor leaguer in the Philadelphia Phillies organization and played at a very high level. And so, you know, he has that competitive mindset and moxie and toughness that comes with it. And it's clearly been put to the test these first couple of ball games post the big win versus South Dakota. These first couple of setbacks has tested that, but I think he's remained positive. He's, for the most part, seemingly healthy, and we'll see what good. All that looks like on Saturday versus Duke.
Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks, joining us. All right, let's turn the page. Scout Duke for us, because we thought at the beginning of the year when they lost to Charlotte, like, okay, well, maybe there's another opportunity for a win, but then, you know, after a win against North Carolina A&T, which nobody pays a whole lot of attention to, they beat Northwestern. And now you got to go to their place. So what in the world are we looking at this week?
Yeah, no doubt. And that is kind of how it goes in early season college football. I think every year, sometimes you read too much into a week one result, positively or negatively. And once you get a larger sample size, you start to figure out a little bit more of what these teams are all about. And I think clearly for anybody that read about or watched the game last week, you saw a Duke team that capitalized on a lot of early mistakes of the Northwestern club, turning the ball over. They got a ton of forced fumbles and set up short fields and built a huge lead. It was just big enough to hang on, but with the five takeaways, I mean, you should win 99 times out of 100 if you take it away five times. And they did, just barely. But I think clearly they're feeling a lot better about things 2 weeks removed from that season-opening loss at Charlotte. They had good balance. I mean, they had a 300-yard passer, 100-yard rusher, 100-yard receiver last week. But I know in talking with my color analyst, David Lawrence, who studies this stuff as much as anybody, Mateo Durant is the guy that's really standing out to him, and that's their running back, senior veteran kid out of South Carolina, who is 6'1", 195, good explosiveness, can run through contact, and clearly has the numbers to back it up already with 7 rushing touchdowns on the season, averaging over 130 yards per game. And so a lot to like with what he brings to the mix. And obviously there's other threats too, but I think when you have that type of balance with Holmberg, the quarterback, and the running game that they have that I just mentioned with Durant, it's going to be important for Kansas to possibly get a takeaway or two of themselves to jumpstart our offense with a short field, because they have the type of weapons that can do what Baylor did, which is sustain long drives, you know, wear your defense down, keep your offense on the sideline, And that's where the takeaway game can really close that margin quickly. And I don't know that there's a huge, huge margin between Duke and Kansas, but each week when you guys bring me on and ask me about keys, it's going to start to sound repetitive. But when you're the team that's looking up at the competition, you do have to win on special teams. Those extra 10 to 15 yards of starting field position make a world of difference when you're the team with the smaller margin for error. You do have to come up with a positive number in the turnover battle and the takeaway game. And in this case, it might take a plus two or plus three to win on the road and give Duke a taste of their own medicine. But those are the types of little things you have to do to get an offense stuck in neutral going a little bit, or you know, to bridge the gap between a team that's perceived 2 or 3 touchdown favorite and where you're at. But we've seen Kansas, you know, show glimpses and flashes of that before. We know it's there in the return game with Kenny Logan. We've yet to see the defense, you know, capitalize with the interception game and get the secondary really involved. But it's encouraging to see more of the forced fumbles, something that they've really emphasized in practice. We saw that a week ago with Kenny Logan getting a big forced fumble that set up Romello Dotson for his first career fumble recovery, and another one that came later in the ball game also involving Logan. But we need to see more of that, and obviously more pressure up front from the guys like Malcolm Lee and Kyron Johnson that we talk so much about. I'd love to see him get the Holmberg. I'd love to see him rattle the cage of the veteran quarterback a little bit and put some pressure on the home team. So those would be some keys against a Duke club that was very opportunistic a week ago. And clearly, you know, it's further along in their program than we are right now. But I don't think they're worlds apart. I do think Kansas can go out there and compete. But it's got to take winning some of those other battles, like special teams field position, return game, you know, fumble recoveries, that type of thing, because we can't just expect Kansas to go out there and march down the field every drive as we saw last week. So maybe giving Jason Bean and company a shorter field to work with because of what the defense or special teams did will be just what it takes to give them a little bit of momentum. And if that could happen early, I'd like our chances in hanging around late. But we got to get off to a better start because, man, you think back to last week and all the 3-and-outs that came early. The reason we were in that game and able to have a late first-half drive to cut the deficit in half was because we got a big fumble recovery that thwarted another, you know, seemingly drive-at-will type moment for Baylor. And that was the Romello Dotson play that I talked about. That kept Kansas in it, and they hung around long enough to be in it at the half, but the floodgates opened up after that because the offense never got going. We got to find a way to jumpstart them a lot quicker on Saturday afternoon.
David Cutcliffe is incredibly well-respected and understandably so, but it's kind of an interesting model for Lance Leipold in a way, because Duke was a football program that was basically being left in the dust, and he's really done a really good job of resuscitating that program and making it viable and relevant and competitive. There's some connections there that I think that you don't have to squint very hard to see, aren't there, Brian?
Yeah, I think that's a great comparison, and hopefully we're talking about Lance Leipold doing something very similar. First off, just in terms of length of tenure, I mean, Cutcliffe's been there since 2008, and you know, they weren't piling up a ton of wins the first 4 years, but they were competing enough in the ACC, finishing kind of the middle of the pack, fifth and sixth, that you saw signs of life, and then it was really in year 5 for him where they broke through and started going to bowl games. But they had a run of 4 consecutive bowl appearances and 6 out of 7 years going to bowl games. And in some of those seasons, and granted, you know, I hope this doesn't sound bad, but it's a lot easier in the ACC than it is the Big 12. Let's be real. But you know, in some of those seasons, these are 8 and 9 win Duke teams, which you don't typically associate with Duke football. But I mean, heck, they had 1 year they finished 10-4. So I think there's a lot to like with what he did once he had 4 full recruiting classes of his own and really got his system, you know, built up. And you look at it now, already off to a 2-win start here in what is, you know, his 12th or 13th season with Duke. If Lance Leipold had that type of longevity at Kansas, I promise you we will have gone to numerous bowl games by then, and we've not had that type of continuity or consistency at all since the Mark Mangino era. So I think you're onto something in saying that, you know, taking a program at a similar place and bringing it to a level of consistency and sustained success should be the goal for Coach Leipold here, and a lot to like with for what he might be able to do if given that chance.
All right, Brian, we wish you the best of luck and safe travels this weekend. Obviously, we'll talk to you next Wednesday, courtesy of our friends from the Mattress Hub.
That's right. Always a pleasure, guys, and sure appreciate the Mattress Hub for sponsoring these reports. My main man, Ryan Beatty, has built the best mattress company in all the Midwest, and you can find out more about that online at mattresshub.com. Up to 50% of instant savings online right now. Change the way you sleep forever at the Mattress Hub and mattresshub.com. Have a great week, guys, and when we talk to you next week, we'll talk Run DMC songs for Late Night in the Fog. How is Bill Self going to keep 13 starter-worthy athletes happy and well-fed because he's got about his deepest team he's ever had. And we'll talk about KU Iowa State in football, too. So a lot to look forward to on next week's report.
We look forward to it, Brian. All right, sounds good. Brian Haney joining us, as he does each and every Wednesday on the show. Coming up next, let's play a little buy and sell, shall we? And we'll do it with the top 25 and maybe even in the Big 12. We'll put Jacob to the test here in just a moment. OTD coming up courtesy of Superior Rents in about 20 minutes or so as this Wednesday edition of Sports Daily continues here exclusively on your sports station, KFH.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.